I want to draw your attention to the announcement sheet that was handed out. There's a few announcements on there that I wanted to highlight for you. And the first is, I talked with Heather before the service, and she says, today, or how'd you say that? Today's the last day. She's working on a directory, so if you notice that first announcement, if you would like to be in the directory, we're updating that. Blue card looks just like this. If this looks familiar to you, great. If it doesn't, please fill it out and give it to Miss Heather. She would love to have that information. So please fill that out for her. The other thing is, in case you haven't noticed, we've got announcements going up on the TV. They're not there right now, but they were beforehand. Pay attention there for future fun facts at Monroe. Okay? This Thursday, we also have an opportunity to serve. This parent-teacher conference is up at the Coit School, and the school has asked us if we'd be willing to supply some food for the teachers who have to stay there after school to meet with the parents. A number of you have talked to Heather already. If you're interested in helping this out this Thursday, please see her. We'd like a little bit more food, and we need some people who are free to be there in the afternoon to welcome people and also to help serve the food. So please talk to Heather. There's also a membership class coming up, not this Tuesday, but next week, Tuesday. A number of you have talked to us about that. We're excited about that, but I just want to make you aware of that. If you want to learn more about making MCC your spiritual home, please see either myself or Heather about that. One more thing, Easter's coming. It's a tradition at Monroe to have breakfast before Easter. So please sign up to bring some food. We look forward to seeing you on Easter Sunday morning. And finally, if you're an NCAA fan and you pick Kansas, I'm praying for you. I'll leave it at that. I'm just praying for you. I feel your pain. Our bracket got busted up last night pretty bad. So that applies to some of you. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But for those of you who do, I'm praying for you and myself. Okay? So there's some announcements of things happening at Monroe and across the country. All right. We're going to turn our attention to God's Word once again. We're in the midst of a series where we're looking at our hearts, our spiritual hearts. We're checking them out. We're taking a pulse. We're examining the health of our hearts. We're using God's Word to do that. We're going to continue today. And to help us do that, we're going to look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to find it and give you a page number if you're using one of the Bibles. Yep, 710 or 712 actually, because we're going to start reading at verse 30. Mark 6, verse 30. So if you need a Bible, there's a whole stack of them on a table here. Feel free to get up and get them. Yeah. Today we're going to be examining the consistency of our hearts. Are our hearts soft? Or are our hearts hard? Or are they somewhere in between? Two stories. Mark 6, beginning at verse 30. Here we read, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of them to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So, people of God, tell me this. How many of you, when you were either in high school or college, dated or courted another person? Did anybody do any dating in high school or college? All right. Okay, so a good majority of you. All right. For some of us here this morning, it's probably been a while since that time in our life. For others up here, I bet we're probably right in the midst of the dating game. And this week, as I reflected on this part of my life during my college days, and in the lives of my roommates and my friends at college, the one thing I remember most about the dating game was the ups and the downs that went along with it. Do any of you remember the ups and downs of the dating game? Yeah, a couple chuckles, a couple smiles. All right. I'm sure there's some stories there. All right. Dating has its ups and downs because sometimes the feelings that we have towards someone are not always mutual. All right. We meet someone new. We notice how they look. And we're attracted to them and their personality. Your feelings for this person begin to grow. Something in your heart begins to tell you, this person is special. So you try and make room for this person in your life. But then the question remains, what's going on inside that person's heart? We kind of know what's going on inside our hearts, but what about inside their heart? Does this person share similar feelings toward me? Is their heart open? Is it soft? Or is it closed? Is it hard? And so we date someone to find that out. We date someone to find it out and to answer these questions. We want answers to these questions because all of us know that in order for a relationship with someone to grow, in order for it to thrive, in order for it to be healthy, the hearts of those who are involved need to be open. They need to be soft. They need to be pliable. In order for a relationship to grow, we need to see, we need to know, and we need to understand that this other person's heart cares for us as much as we care for them. And friends, what is true for our relationships with other people is also true for our relationship with God. In order for our relationship to grow and to thrive and to be a healthy one, our hearts need to be open and soft so that we can see and we can know the goodness of God around us. Look again with me at the two stories that we just read in Mark chapter 6. In these verses of Scripture, we have two of what I think are some of the two most amazing stories in the entire Bible. Recall with me again the details of the first story. What happened in the first story? What are some of the details that are involved there? Who's there? Hungry people. Okay? How many hungry people are we talking about? Okay. 5,000 men, right? Bigger crowd than that. Right? They counted the men, but some men have women, have a wife and children, right? So we can assume that maybe it was double that. All right, so we have a lot of hungry people. All right, what else? The disciples are there, okay? What else is, George, what else is going on in the story? What's that? Jesus is there. Very good. How about the place? Where are they at? Galilee, okay. In a remote area, it says. Okay? When you hear that remote, what comes to your mind? Desert. Okay? What time is it? It's late. Okay? It's dinner time. Okay? Because it's dinner time, that's why we have 10,000 hungry people. All right? So Jesus asks, what do we have to work with? What do we have? When it comes to food in this remote place, what do we have? Okay, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Right? Not Texas toasts. Right? We've got 5 little barley loaves. Right? Little loaves that were common for poor people. Little loaves that you could probably eat 7 or 9 of them by yourself. I could. You're right. You could too, probably. Right? Don't think Texas toast. Think 5 barley loaves. Gail and I could both eat 9 of them. Okay? And then 2 fish. And we all have fish stories. Right? Fish. Not fish, but fish. Right? What did Jesus do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Yeah, what did he do? He split them. Okay? How often did he split them? A lot. Right? What happened as a result of him splitting them? What's that? I can't hear you. He made a ton of pieces of bread. And also a ton of pieces of fish. How much is a ton? 2,000 pounds. Yeah, sorry. That's great. That is a smart boy right there. He's like, bam, it's 2,000 pounds. It's like, oh, that's right. How much is 6 tons? That's right. right? You are right about that. That's not, let me clarify, right? It was a ton, that's right. But not in pounds. It was enough to feed 10,000 people. That's what I mean, about a ton. Right? So, and there were leftovers. Okay? The second story. What happened in the second story? Right after this, what does Jesus tell his disciples to do? Immediately what? Go out on the lake. Right? Get in a boat. Go across. Okay? What does Jesus do while they're in the boat? Where does Jesus go? To do what? He goes up the mountain to pray. What happens to the disciples as they're making their way across? What do we read? They encounter a storm, right? Some wind. Okay? I love that phrase. They were straining at the oars, I think it says, right? How many of you ever rowed a boat before? When I read this phrase, I remember a competition that I was in with some of my college roommates. It involved rowing a boat. Two of us knew how to row a boat. Three of us did not. I was one of the two that knew how to row a boat. But if you watch them, they were straining at the oars. They were just going in circles. Yeah. But they're straining, right? So they're going against the wind. Okay, what happens during the fourth watch? What? Jesus walks out to meet them. Right? Jesus sees them out there in the fourth watch. How many of you know when the fourth watch was? 3 to 6 in the morning. Okay, so Jesus walks out to meet them. Has that sunk in? He walks out. When the disciples see him, what happens? They think he's a ghost, right? They don't immediately recognize him. How do they react? Scared. Terrified. Right? Put yourself in that boat. How would you react? Would it be similar or would it be different? How does Jesus respond to their reaction? What does he say? Yeah. He says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." Literally, "I am," says. "It's me. Don't be afraid." What happens when he climbs in the boat? Does anything happen? The wind stops. It goes calm. Two amazing stories. Yes? Through both of these things, Jesus is trying to convey to his disciples something. Through both of these experiences, Jesus is trying to show them about who he is, about why he has come. What do you think Jesus is trying to convey to them? What do you think he's trying to show them? Yeah. That he's God. Okay? George. That he can do anything. Okay? Anybody else? Yeah. That he will be their provider and their protector. Okay? Yeah. Okay. There's more to this world than what they see or think. That He's in control. Okay? Anybody else? What is He trying? Faith. Okay? Anybody else? He's trying to show him something. What is He trying to show him? That He can be trusted. Okay? Tell me this. Do they get it? Do they understand it? Do they understand what's going on? See some heads going like this. Answer is no. Right? At this point in the story, they don't get it. Why? Why does Mark say the disciples didn't recognize or understand who Jesus was during the feeding of the 5,000 or 10,000 people? Why didn't they understand about the loaves? Why didn't they understand about the water? Why didn't they understand when He got in the boat? What do we read in verse 52? What's that now? Their hearts were hard. Right? Their hearts were hard. How we respond to things going around us depends on the condition of our hearts. Are they open? Are they soft? Are they pliable? Or are they hard? Are they closed? Right? Hard. Are they able to receive? Or are things flying by? Go back with me to college in the dating game. During that time with my friends and I were dating, many things that we did to try and convey our feelings to one another, I would often go, phew. Right? They would, phew. They would just be flying right by. Why was that? Because the person's heart was, it's hard. Right? I had something to give, but they didn't want to receive it. So, one of my friends, for example, was this chiseled, muscle-bound guy who was also very smart. She's laughing. Many ladies swooned over this man. Okay, he's what people affectionately call a heartthrob. He was it. But because his heart was not open, right, to all the potential love that these women desired to lavish on him, most of their attempts, right, to convey their love went sailing right by. He was oblivious. Some women said he was clueless. He was clueless to the advances that they were making, right, and the feelings that they were trying to pour out on him. When we would try and help him understand, he would dismiss us too. No, what are you talking about? There's no way. And we're like, dude, if you only knew. Right? He would dismiss us. Why? Because his heart wasn't open. My friend, he's not alone. Right? I often was clueless. People had to help me figure things out. I couldn't see what was happening. Couldn't read it. I'm sure some of you were clueless too. Right? Mark, in his record of these stories and throughout his gospel, compares for us the disciples' reaction to Jesus and what he's doing and the crowd's reaction to Jesus and what he's doing. In verse 33 of this chapter, of the story we read, the crowds recognize Jesus. Right? When they see Him going somewhere, what do? They run. They run because they're gonna head Him off at the pass. They want to get to where He's going because they recognize Him for who He is. Their hearts are open, so they're hightailing it over there. It doesn't matter if it's a remote place. We're gonna be there when He gets there. And then in verse 52, the disciples are out there all alone. And they're completely amazed. They're bewildered. They're befuddled. Right? They had not understood. Why? Because their hearts are hard. Then when they make land, a few verses later, the people again, what do? They immediately recognize Jesus, Mark says. And what do? They're bringing the sick. They're bringing the crippled. They're bringing everybody to Jesus. Why? Because they know who He is and why He came and what He's all about. Their contrasting reactions are the result of the condition of their hearts. The disciples were not always able to recognize. They were not able to understand about the loaves. Because their hearts were hard. Often when I read these stories and other ones like it, I get so frustrated with those disciples. I get frustrated because, I mean, come on. 10,000 people were just fed from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, really? How could that have happened? Right? Is that not amazing? Wouldn't that just click? Wouldn't that... Ta-da! And then there's this person walking on water. And I have a boat. I like to spend time on water. But then every time I go out, I sink. Right? And Henry John sinks. And right? We just, but then... There he is. And if it's not the boat or the feeding of the 5,000, there's crippled people who are, take up your mat and walk. And they walk away. Women who have been bleeding for a long, long time who aren't anymore. Demon-possessed people, people who are out of their right mind, become lucid. This happens again and again. Are not these amazing things? Why don't they recognize it? Why don't they understand this guy and who he is and what he's doing? I just get so frustrated. I mean, shouldn't they get it? And Mark says, no. If your heart is hard, you're not going to recognize or understand who Jesus is. If your heart is hard, right, you're going to miss out on His glory. You're going to miss out on His power. You're going to miss out on His healing and His provision in your life. If our hearts are hard, this stuff is just going to keep passing us by. And it's not that these things aren't happening. They were happening there. The disciples were eyewitnesses. And they are happening now. That's not why. He says, no, it's because our hearts, are hard that they're passing by. When our hearts are hard, we're not able to understand or recognize the amazing things that Jesus can and that He is doing in our midst. If our hearts are hard, we'll not be able to understand about the loaves. If our hearts are hard, we'll not be able to understand about the healing. If our hearts are hard, we'll not be able to understand about the cross.
We want to be able to understand about God's forgiveness. We won't be able to recognize provision, the provision of God. We won't be able to recognize the power of God. We won't be able to recognize the promises of God. Therefore, we need to ask ourselves, are we able to see these things? Are we able to see God at work around us? Can we give testimony of God's healing work in our lives and in the lives of people around us? Can we see His provision in our lives and around us? Can we see the goodness of God? Jesus was passing by the disciples in the boat. Are we able to see Him passing by? Are we able to recognize Him? Can we say Jesus is at work here and give Him glory and honor? How we answer these questions depends upon the condition of our hearts. How do we maintain a soft heart and not a hard one? Here's a prescription for maintaining a heart that is soft, a heart that is open, a heart that is ready to receive. First thing is, reflect. Reflect. Where is God at work in your life? Can you see it? Where do you see evidence of God's hand in your life and the lives of people around you? Where do you see the goodness of God? Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you acknowledge it? There. I was talking with Steve about this. He tells me about this quote that Martin Luther said. Anytime you talk to Steve about stuff, he's got a quote for you. It's awesome. Look at this. Can you see it? Martin Luther says this: Our Lord has written the promises of the resurrection, not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime. We regressed a little bit yesterday, right? But when we look out here, right, can we see it? The changing of the seasons, right? When we look out our windows, when they're open in the morning, right, and you hear the birds singing. Right? What do you see? What do you see when you look out? Do you see God's provision? When you see it, record it. Write it down. Keep a journal. Record some evidence. You and I, we keep records of all kinds of things. Right? Expense reports. Homework assignments. Due dates for things at work. Right? Our weekly schedules that are up on the fridge. We write all these things down so that we can remember them and so that we don't forget. Right? What about the provision of God? Can we keep a record of that? I encourage you to do so because I can almost guarantee that there will come a time where it will be hard or more difficult for you to recognize it. There will come a time in your life when it's going to be hard to remember. It's going to be hard to see the goodness of God around you. There will come a time in your life where your heart will move toward this. And when it does, how can we combat it? We can go back to the record. We can go back to the evidence, right? And read for the past 3 months. The Lord provided for me here. The Lord healed this person there. When we have a difficult time seeing the goodness of God, we can remind ourselves and we can remember that He is at work. So it's not come here. Friends, how is the condition of your heart this morning? Is it open? Is it pliable? Is it soft? Or is it hard? Is it closed? Are you aware of the goodness of God around you? Can you see it? Are you experiencing it? Or is it passing you by? Pray with me this morning.